You know, one of the things that the enemy loves to do is he loves to rob your identity in Christ, who you are in Christ. You know, these 12-step programs and these different groups, and I'm not critical of all these various groups, but their meeting starts off with identity. My name is, and I am an alcoholic. My name is, and I am a drug addict. That's your identity. And that goes on forever. Forever and ever, that is your identity. You have an identity. But when you become a Christian, you have a new identity. A new identity, and that is you're a child of God. Amen. I've even heard people say, well, my disease is doing this to me. And I have responded more than once when I heard someone say, my disease, I have responded by saying, don't make that disease yours. That disease is of the devil. That disease is from hell. That disease is not of God. Don't say my disease. Don't claim it. Don't make it your identity. Don't make it who you are. Amen. You're a child of God. You belong to the Lord Jesus. Let's read some verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Several things that this little section of Scripture tells us. It tells us that we walk and we live in the flesh, and we all know that. We're physical, we're human, and we live in a physical world. And you're going to live in a physical world until you take your last breath and you step into the presence of God. Until that day, you're in this world. You're in this physical world. Though we walk in the flesh, or we live in the flesh, and that's where we all are. We all are living in the flesh. And we all interact with one another, and we're connected with one another. With the advent of the smartphone and all these devices, we're even more connected than we've ever been with each other and with the world. The world is at our fingertips. And you can find out what is going on pretty much anywhere around the world in a matter of just a few seconds. It's so accessible to us. We do walk in the flesh. We are in this world. We know that's the truth. We're connected. You know, even Jesus, he had a connection. I mean, he came in the flesh and he had a connection with people. And he loved people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He came into the world because of people. He took upon himself the form of flesh. He took upon himself humanity, which is mind-boggling when you think about God the Creator taking on a human form. But that's exactly what he did. He walked among men. He rubbed shoulders with people. He sat down with sinners. He ate meat with sinners. He connected with people. And he didn't do it to become like them. He did it to demonstrate his love to them. He did it and even to confront the sin that was in their life. But he was in the flesh. When Jesus, in his physical form, I mean, he was hungry. He wept. He went through all the physical limitations of being tired and weary and all of these things. But he walked in flesh, and you and I walk in flesh. And we're going to, till the day we die. We're going to live and walk in this physical world that we are in. But notice that it says we walk in the flesh, we live in the flesh every day. We're walking in the flesh, but we do not war in the flesh. There's a distinction that's given here that we really need to get a hold of, because everything has spiritual implications. Everything. You say, oh, that can't be true. Oh, but it does. It does. Everything that's going on in your life has spiritual significance and even consequences, the smallest, least little thing. We walk in the flesh, we live in these physical bodies, but we can't fight our battles in the flesh, because you're a child of God, and the battles have to be won in the Spirit. That's why we pray. That's why we walk with God. That's why that we spend time in worship. That's why we spend time in the Word of God. Amen. And if you try to fight the battles in the flesh, you wear out really quick, because you can't do it. You're going to get angry. You're going to get bitter trying to change things and change people in your own power. And many situations, you just can't do one thing about it in the flesh. As a matter of fact, the more you try, it's probably going to get worse. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the ones you're praying for, you're concerned about, if you try to push them or pressure them or maneuver the situation, they're going to get further and further away from God. It's only by a work of the Spirit. It's only the working and the moving the Spirit that's going to make a difference. We live in the flesh, but we war in the Spirit. We do not war after the flesh. We do not, and we cannot, if we try it, we're going to fail miserably. And I think we all have tried. We've all tried. We've tried to work things out. We've tried to solve our problems. We've tried to make decisions. We've tried in our own flesh, in our own strength, and we fail. Miserably we fail whenever we do that. That's why it's so important that we come to the end of ourselves and just simply say, Lord, this is a struggle that I cannot win. This is too big for me. I cannot win this battle. And it can only be won as you turn to the Lord and lean heavily upon Him. It's the only way that we can win this struggle that we're in. Amen. You may think, well, that person is my enemy, or that person is causing all my problems, or that situation is something that maybe I could deal with. You can't. You can't. It is only by the work of the Spirit. It's only as you are a spiritual person that you're able to get anything accomplished. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Every attempt, everything we try to do, our own manipulation, our own efforts, will fail. Our weapons are not carnal. If they're not carnal, then what are they? They're spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're spiritual. We win the battle in the Spirit. They're mighty through God. Mighty through God. The word just means powerful. Powerful. When we pray, we believe that the prayer, you know, too oftentimes we'll have a big problem and we'll say, well, I tried this and I tried that and I did this and I attempted to solve the problem. And you'll list all the things you attempted to do. And then you will say, well, I guess all we can do is just pray. All we can do is just pray. You think that that's the will of God? No, it is not the will of God. It's not that we just pray, it's that we pray first. Amen. We pray because we know that Our prayers can be powerful. Our prayers should be powerful. And they are mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Amen. They are mighty through God. You know, we tend to worry. We'll have a problem, we worry. As a matter of fact, we expend all kinds of energy and emotional energy and even physical energy. And we worry and we worry and we worry. And what do we accomplish? Nothing. We get weaker in it. We get more troubled in it. The more you worry about it, it does not solve it at all. So that's why the scripture says in Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing or worry about nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That's what it's saying. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. All of our needs, all of our concerns and worries, we should pray about. Why? Because prayer is a tool. Prayer is a tool of mighty power. That we can come to prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. And we can pray believing that God is going to work supernaturally. And then we can step back and see Him work. In His own timing, in His own ways, we can see the hand of God at work in our lives. Don't worry about things, but instead, pray about them. Commit them to the Lord, because prayer is a mighty tool. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. We want to get involved and say, you know, I can solve this problem. We not only can't solve the problem, we can't even really clearly identify what the problem is. We don't even know what's going on. Many times we just look at the surface issues and think that we can solve it. We can't. We cannot do that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. They are mighty. They are powerful through God to pull down strongholds. And what are those strongholds? The next verse. Casting down imaginations. It's talking about a mindset. It's talking about reasoning. It's talking about ideas that you have. And some of those ideas have come from the enemy. That's convincing you. Arguments that have exalted themselves above the knowledge of God. That's why we need to know what the Bible says. It's why we need to be students of God's word, because the enemy is constantly going to be bombarding your mind with lies. And he wants all of these things to be exalted above the knowledge of God, above the things of God. And he's a liar. Just like I said, I'm an alcoholic. That's who I am. That's a mindset. That's a mindset that becomes a stronghold in the lives of people, and they think, this is who I am, and I can't get help in this. This is a mindset. This is who I am. And many times people, they have a mindset that's contrary to the knowledge of God. And if we don't know the Word of God, then we're going to find ourselves thinking things that are opposite of God's Word. Some people say, well, I can't serve the Lord. I'm too bad. I've done too many bad things in my life. I can't be a Christian. That is contrary to the knowledge of God. Because He went to the cross to forgive you of all of your sins. Every one of them, no matter how wicked or awful that they might be. It's the enemy that's put that mindset, that stronghold in your mind that convinces you, I'm too bad. I've done too many evil, wicked things. I could never be a Christian. That's a stronghold that the enemy builds in your thinking, in your mind. Or I'm just going through a few of these. And you can no doubt think of others. No one really loves me. No one really loves me. I can't be a part of that church. No one really cares about me. No one really loves me. Oh, what a lie of the enemy. That is a lie that is contrary to the knowledge of God. The church is a place where people do care and they do love enough to pray for you and to minister to you and reach out to you in whatever ways that they possibly can. Amen. I'm convinced that right here in this group here tonight, that if you had a problem, a big problem, and they knew about it and they could help you with their problem, they care enough about you that they would. They would. Amen. Because that's just the nature of the family of God and the body of Christ. We've had the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have been changed and we are motivated by the love of God that's in our heart. And so once a mindset, a stronghold in some people's minds is, well, I can't be a part of that church. I can't go to church because no one would really ever care about me or love me. Some have the mindset, I really don't need God. I don't really need God. I can make it. I can figure this out on my own against the knowledge of God. That's not the truth. Because without God, you can't help yourself. You can't save yourself. You are destitute. You are hopeless. Without Jesus, there's no hope for you. Some would, they have that stronghold in their mind. I can make it. I don't need God. Some will say even, I'm okay. I'll be all right. How many times have you heard that? When you talk to people about the Lord or invite them to church and they'll just say things like, I'll be all right. I'm okay. It's a mindset. It's a stronghold. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He said these are strongholds, casting down imaginations or a mindset, a thinking, a thought process, ideas and arguments that are against the knowledge of God. Do you know of people that right now they're actively allowing that stronghold to control their life and their mind? Some would say, I can't change. I can't overcome. I can't live it. Some people won't go to church because they'll say, I just can't live for God. I can't make those changes. I can't overcome. I can't do it. I can't do it. True, you can't. But the Lord has promised power. He's promised His grace to be poured out upon you, to give to you the ability to do what He's called you to do. You can live for God. And God, by His grace, can lead you and direct you and change your life and transform you. Amen. Some have the mindset, well, I just need God when I'm in trouble. Big mistake. I just need God when I'm in trouble. You need God when you're in trouble, but you need Him all the time. When things are not going well for you as well. Amen. So, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. All of this thought process, and you know of people, no doubt, that they have this thinking, this mindset that keeps them from coming to the Lord. It keeps them from walking in real victory because they're so controlled by this stronghold that's in their mind. Amen. It says that we need to bring that into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. The answer is obedience. The answer in bringing it down is obey the word of the Lord. Obey the truth of God's word. You remember the fortress, the stronghold of Jericho. The walls were high, and it was the first city, the first obstacle under Joshua and his armies. It's their first tower, first stronghold that they face. And what does the Lord tell them? I mean, this is a fighting machine. Joshua is a mighty military man. He knows strategy. He knows how to win battles. He knows. He's won plenty of battles. But what does God tell Joshua to do? Joshua, march around the walls every day for 6 days, one time. Put the Ark of the Covenant out there and the trumpeters out there in the front and just walk around for 6 days. On the seventh day, do it seven times, sound the trumpets, shout for victory, and the walls will come down. Now that is crazy. That is Who could ever believe that, especially a military man who knew that he had this big, formidable fortress before him and these high walls before him, but he believed God and he obeyed God. And when he obeyed God, the walls came down. Glory to God. Notice what it says. And having, verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. It just simply means be ready, because anytime those thoughts of that are exalting themselves above the knowledge of God, be ready for any disobedience, any thought of disobedience, be ready and be ready to bring it down. Amen. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Don't allow those thoughts of disobedience to enter back into your mind. Don't allow that stronghold to have its place in your life. Don't believe it. When you hear your friend or your loved one giving excuses why they're not saved and why they don't go to church and why they're not walking with the Lord, don't listen to that. That's a lie. That's a stronghold that's in their mind. That's a mindset. That's a process of thinking that they can't seem to get through that. And the only way that that can come down is when they take a step of obedience. And they say, okay, God, I'll do it your way. I'll do it your way. And when they make a step of obedience to obey God, then the walls start crumbling. And the next step, and the next step of obedience. And they tear down the stronghold of their life and in their mind by simply reaching out in faith and obedience to the promise of God. There are a lot of hard cases. There are a lot of people that we pray for and we're concerned about that they are so hard to break through them and to get through to them. But you know that all it takes is just one little voice of faith and obedience to bring it down. I've told you so many times about my dad's salvation that you could all tell the story, I know. But my dad had a stronghold in his mind. He had a stronghold that he could not believe. He just couldn't believe. He couldn't believe that the Word of God was true. He didn't believe it. He just could not accept it and put his faith in the Lord. And a lot of it was just pride and thinking that he could be a good person and he could live a good life. And he was. He was a good moral person and he did do a lot of things that were right. But he was lost. He needed Jesus. Pastor Gary Norris went day after day after day after day. My dad is on a sick bed. He is dying. And we are praying and you all, the church here is praying and many others were joining with us in prayer for him. And about 2 weeks before he passed away, and Pastor Gary would go in there and talk to him and say to him, John, wouldn't you like to pray? Would you want to call on the Lord? And my dad would just shake his head. Wouldn't say anything. He just would shake his head. I'm telling you, he was looking pretty desperate. But thank God for Brother Gary that kept going. And on this particular day when he goes in and he sits down and has a conversation with him on that day, apparently my dad had been mulling over this and thinking about this. Because on that day, when Pastor Gary said, John, wouldn't you like to call upon the Lord and believe upon Jesus? Wouldn't you want to pray? And my dad said, yes, I would. I will. And immediately the wall came down. Immediately the wall crashed down. All of that mindset, all of that unbelief, it crashed down. And he was a changed person because he put his faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's what's going to happen. Dennis Kirby. That's what's going to happen. Did as Kirby. Amen. I believe with all my heart that one of these days he's going to say, I do need God. I do need God. And I am crying out to God for help. And when he does, then all of that that resistance will be gone and that stronghold will be gone. Glory to God. We're believing the Lord to do it. The sooner the better. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we are in a struggle, and people that are out in the world, they're bound. Of course, in the last weeks, I've been studying and meditating on the whole problem of drug addiction. And yes, it's definitely a physical addiction. Your body craves that, but it's much more than that. It's much more than that. It's something going on in their thinking. It's in their mentality. And I've talked to enough people that have dealt with drug addiction that it's more than just a physical, but it's a stronghold in their mind. It's become an identity, who they are. It's become something that they can't say no to. It's something that their mind is driving them to that addiction. And one step of obedience can cause that stronghold to start crumbling. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Bring them into victory. Pray with me that the Lord will do just that. Amen. In the lives of people. Do you know of someone, are you praying for someone that they have a stronghold, a mindset that's like a brick wall when it comes to the things of the Lord? Do you know someone like that? Would you stand up right now? You know of somebody like that. Stand up. They are like a brick wall of resistance. There is a stronghold in their life, in their mind. So what do we need to pray? We need to pray, Lord, we know that obedience is what is going to bring it down. So Lord, that they would take a step of faith to obey your word. That they would just take one step of faith to believe the word of the Lord. And reach out to God to see that brought down. Let's pray. I don't know the names of all these people, but I know they're out there. And I know that we have in our family the same kind of a need. But the Lord can bring it down. And let's believe God to do that tonight. As we agree together, Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, Lord, the names and the lives that are represented by all these that are standing up right now. And Lord, their heart and their mind, Lord, is just such a resistance and a hardness, Lord, to the truth, to the knowledge of God. And I pray, Lord, God, that all of this stronghold and all of this mindset, Lord, that's raised up against the knowledge of God, Lord, that you'd start bringing down those strongholds, that you'd start tearing down those strongholds, Lord. And help them to reach out in faith and to obey you, Lord. Move, Lord, we pray, in the lives of everyone that's standing right now, Lord. Lord, you know, Lord, the circumstances that people are in. And Lord, they need you so desperately. Even though, Lord, that they're resisting that and rejecting that, Lord. But we know, God, that it's the work of the enemy, that it's built up this stronghold in their mind. That is stopping them. So, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we know, Lord, that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. And as we pray tonight, Lord, you can tear it down. You can bring it down, Lord, in the name of Jesus. As we agree together, Lord, in this group tonight, we're believing, God, that you are going to tear down the strongholds in the mighty name of Jesus. And every loved one, and every family member, and every friend, Lord, all of these, Lord, that are bound by a thought process, Lord, by a mindset, Lord, that's contrary to the knowledge of God. Oh, Lord, we believe your word. We know your word is true. And I ask you, Lord, lead men and women into obedience. God, lead them, Lord, into a step of obedience. To do your will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.